Frank Trial Unfair, Jewish Rabbi Says in Scathing Speech. The Atlanta Journal, Wednesday, the 19th of November, 1913, page 1, column 3. Reverend Alexander Lyons of Brooklyn declares prisoner's Jewish nationality, influenced verdict of guilty girl's alleged slayer compared to Bayless. Conditions are worse here than in Tsar's domain, he says, because of Christian pretenses. Rabbi Alexander Lyons, one of the foremost Jews in America, speaking at the 8th Avenue Temple in Brooklyn last Friday night, compared Atlanta and the Frank case with Russia and the Bayless ritual murder case in an address which is attracting attention over the entire country. Dr. Lyons' subject was American interference in Russia, which he advocated, but he devoted considerable time to the Frank case, urging America to keep her own household in order. At this distance, the rabbi said, we cannot pass on his guilt or innocence. But at least we know that he, Frank, has not been given a fair trial. His trial was demonstrably influenced by some of the basest passions at work in his community, and his jury was victimized by mob intimidations. At this distance, the rabbi said, we cannot pass on his guilt or innocence, but at least we know that he, Frank, has not been given a fair trial. His trial was demonstrably influenced by some of the basest passions at work in his community, and his jury was victimized by mob intimidations. Dr. Lyons lauded the action of the Christian citizens of America and other countries, who voiced their protest against the ritual murder trial, and speaking directly on his theme of American interference in the internal affairs of other nations, he said, protest is duty. If our neighbors conduct themselves within their homes in a way that threatens our peace and welfare, we have legal recourse, and if delay increases danger, we are under duty straightway to defend ourselves. Distance does not make Russia the less our neighbor. If she so deports herself toward members of her household as to involve directly through artificially provoked immigration, our institutions, our peace and our welfare, we have not only right but duty to protest persistently and effectively. Again, the question of the right of American interference in Russian affairs springs from an ignorance of that truer Americanism, which is and has been the guiding ideal and spirit of leading Americans from Washington to our down day. Neither in origin, history, nor present condition are we an insular fact of mere material dimensions and content anchored in a great ocean of selfish indifference. To the mind of distinguished Americans of light and leading our country has spelt a destiny whose implication is nothing less, and can be nothing higher, than the welfare of the rest of the world with ourselves. Our greatest seers have rightly regarded our country in point of possibility and duty as the cradle of the future, as George Eliot so aptly expressed it. We have, as Roosevelt has emphasized, world duties, and we have been exemplifying this more and more. Our relations to Cuba and the Philippines, our interest in peace in Mexico, are not merely the dictates of commercial wisdom. It involves an important humanitarian consideration. Discusses Frank case. Dr. Lyons' remarks, which bear directly on the case now in the Georgia courts, are quoted in the Brooklyn Citizen as follows. But this right of American interference in the so-called domestic affairs of foreign peoples imposes upon us the more urgent duty of setting and keeping our own household in order. When in times past, the American people voiced their objection to expressions of cruelty in Russia, we were properly reminded of cruelties within our own borders. We were told of the presence among us of occasional outbursts of barbaric lynching. Of course, the parallel is not correct. Such aspects of cruelty among us are outbursts of the irritated and spasmodic frenzy of individuals, and is not only without governmental connivance, as it too often is in Russia, but is even fought by governmental interference, though oftentimes unsuccessfully. But even these outbursts of barbaric passion of various kinds in our own midst should be persistently and unintermittently fought by us to the point of their ultimate disappearance. At this very moment, there is call for the uprising of the better elements of the American people in protest against the perpetration in our midst of an outburst of brutal prejudice. In Atlanta, a young man of our community has for months been under the heavy hand of the law on the charge of murder, denied fair trial. We are not competent at this distance to pass upon his innocence, although we do know as a result of years of knowledge that his life was exemplary in all that makes a young manhood beautiful and admirable. But of this we are certain, that he has not been fairly tried in keeping with the scared right of every American. His trial was demonstrably influenced by some of the basest passions at work in his community. His jury was victimized by mob intimidation. The fact of his Jewishness was again and again used as a ground of influence and action against him. This can be proved on the testimony of Christians of intelligence and prominence in Atlanta. The judge himself, who was appealed to for a new trial, refused, although he acknowledged that he was not convinced one way or another with regard to the guilt or innocence of the assumed culprit. This Frank case is not an Atlanta case. It is not of exclusive concern to the state of Georgia. It is national. It is humanitarian. It is Christian in its importance and scope. The question involved is not whether the young man in the case is innocent or guilty, but along with this is the larger and important quest. Continued on last page, column 4. Page 22, column 4. Frank trial. Unfair, Jewish rabbi says in scathing speech, continued from page 1. Tion, whether it shall now or ever be possible in American life for the course of justice to be swerved in the least by the fact of a man's color or creed. During the course of the trial, one could hear on the streets of Atlanta that Frank should be put to death because he was only a Jew and had crucified Christ. Will the Christian element of the American people stand idly by while a young man is being put to death without his guilt being adequately proven and at the same time allow our Savior to be crucified once again in spurt? In the present situation in that horrible Atlanta affair, we are more to be condemned than Russia in her occasional cruelty, because we are generally more enlightened and more boastful of being a Christian country. Let us, as Americans, interfere in Russia when the call of humanity requires, but let us not overlook the urgent demands of duty to our very door. Russia has yielded to the influence of humanity as exerted by ourselves, together with the rest of the world. Let us not run the risk and incur the danger of the world's contempt and of the loss of our self-respect in permitting even the humblest citizen among us to be doomed without the certainty of a scrupulous regard for justice and become the victim of a so-called racial or religious prejudice that is characteristic of savagery and out of place in the midst of a civilization such as we claim and emulate. America should interfere in Russia when occasion warrants. Page 1, Column 5. Jim Conley's case may be called on Thursday. Judge Hill may not allow trial until court decides Frank case. The case against Jim Conley, the Negro who says he carried the body of Mary Fagan to the basement of the National Pencil Factory after she had been murdered by Leo M. Frank, will probably be called in the Criminal Division of the Superior Court Thursday. The case was checked until that date because of the absence from the city of his attorney, W. M. Smith. Mr. Smith is expected to return Wednesday evening. Interest in the case has been aroused because of speculation as to the attitude of Judge Ben H. Hill. When Solicitor Dorsey called the case last week, Judge Hill refused to allow him to enter in the trial of it at that time, but gave no explanation of his attitude further than that he didn't care to take up the case that week. Reason for delay. It is therefore the conjecture of many that the court will continue to block every effort of the solicitor to dispose of the case before the Supreme Court acts on the plea of Frank for new trial. The obvious reason for this is that should Frank be cleared of the charge, it would be consistent to try Conley for the murder, and this will be prevented if the Solicitor General is allowed to carry out his promise of protection for the Negro by trying him as an accessory, which would prevent his ever facing the more serious charge. Should Judge Hill allow Conley to go on trial Thursday or Friday, the trial will ebb largely a discussion of legal technicalities. The Negro's statement at the Frank trial that he assisted in disposing of the body will be admitted, but his attorney will argue that because of a technicality, the law does not cover Conley's case.